Welcome to the second episode of Return to Camp Blood. I'm your host, Chris, joined by my fellow campers, E.
Right here, man.
And Eric.
What's up, y'all?
Since Allie is a 13-year-old girl, she figured she had more important things to do on a Saturday night than talk about old movies with her dad, so she's not going to be joining us tonight. So we were finally able to launch a show last night on a perfectly fitting Friday the 13th, and I thought it went well. We got some awesome feedback, so I just want to let everyone know we appreciate all your support.
Very much so. Very much so.
Yeah.
Very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
So, but before we get into talking about part one tonight, I wanted to bring up something that was bothering me from earlier today. Apparently, there's this idea some people have that if you like the 2009 reboot movie, you aren't a quote-unquote true fan. I just want to say that for the record, it makes you sound like a fucking pretentious douchebag when you say stuff like that. I hate Jason Goes to Hell, but there's no way I would tell someone who does like it that they aren't a real fan.
How the hell are you going to be a horror movie hipster and shit?
I know, right?
You can't be a campy purist. That doesn't work.
I know. It's not like there's any requirement for being a fan except that you like the series in general. That's pretty much it.
I don't understand that at all, man. That's crazy. But, I mean, it doesn't surprise me, man. I mean, that's just how people are. They feel like the original is, like, sacred or whatever, so you're not allowed to touch it ever again. And if you do, you are the devil.
All right.
Yeah, that's...
So, E, this one is your favorite movie. So why don't you do the starting of the talking?
All right. So tonight we are going to discuss the original Friday the 13th, my personal favorite, as was just mentioned. And yeah, I've been looking forward to this one. So interested to see how the conversation goes.
Yeah, so this movie came out in 1980, so roughly, I don't know, what was it, 35 years ago? It was written by Victor Miller.
It's not the only awesome thing that happened in 1980.
Yes, I agree with that. I think it was a joint effort as far as the writing was concerned by Victor Miller and Sean Cunningham, who had just come off working with Wes Craven on Last House on the Left, wanting to kind of like capture a piece of the pie from Halloween, the Halloween series that had just started, what was it, 1979?
Yeah, and took place in 78. That's why we have Voorhees. It's on the corner of Haddonfield and Voorhees. And Sean Cunningham had to have stole a little bit from John Carpenter based solely on that in Road in New Jersey. Somewhere in New Jersey.
I feel like I should own a house on the corner of those two streets. It seems appropriate.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Where do you live at? You know where I live.
So this movie is what started us down the path to Jason. What's funny is, you know, what was that parody horror movie? Was it I Know What You Did Last Summer or some shit?
I think that one was supposed to be serious, which is surprising considering.
Well, no, do you remember the dude called the girl and asked, you know, who was the killer of in Friday the 13th?
Oh, that's Scream.
Oh,
dude.
Scream. Okay.
That's Scream.
That's Scream.
Fair enough.
You can't knock Wes Craven, man.
Fair enough. I was not watching a lot of horror movies during that time. But it's funny that this movie, a lot of people don't realize it, but Jason isn't anywhere in this movie except for like the last 2 seconds where he pops out of the water and pulls Alice into the lake. And so it's always funny to ask people that question, you know, who was the killer in Friday the 13th? And they almost always answer Jason, which is not true.
Yeah, that's always fun to do. It's almost inevitable that somebody is going to get that wrong. I mean, even 35 years after the movie came out, people still don't know that. It's crazy.
Even a very popular movie making note that the killer in Friday the 13th was not Jason, it was his mother, people still get it wrong. They think that Jason's the killer.
Well, and we can't all be perfect, I guess.
We got a very dramatic actor playing the killer, though. Betsy Palmer was a steal for a new car.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Her, her car had just shit out on her, and she was looking for a new, you know, she was looking for a job, and basically she was like, well, I thought, you know, when I read the first couple lines of the script, you know, the movie was shit, but I figured, fuck it, nobody's going to see this piece of shit anyway.
Turned out to be one of the, like, probably the biggest horror franchise, one of the biggest movie franchises, period, like, ever.
Name one other movie that Betsy Palmer was in. I'm gonna play crickets right there, because you can't name one. I mean, unless you're like a fucking Betsy Palmer, you know, scholar, she's not known for anything else. So the idea that no one was gonna see the movie, that you know, because she didn't want to have anything to do with a slasher movie, and so the idea that nobody would see the movie, and then 35 years later she's basically known solely for that movie, I think is hilarious.
It really is. I couldn't picture her in anything else, to be perfectly honest.
Well, no.
She's an old school actor. It looks like in 1955 she did a film called Death Tide, The Long Gray Line. She's pretty accomplished. A lot of her roles were dramatic roles. Surprise, surprise. But there was a big gap in her career between when she was in her prime and Friday the 13th. So.
Yeah, for movies, but... looking at her, if you look at her TV stuff, she was in a lot of TV shows. I mean, I'm sure most of that stuff was cameo, but yeah, she did a lot of TV movies too. I mean, not movies, but she did a lot of TV shows too.
And the soap operas that she did do, Sean Cunningham directed quite a few of them, actually. Anyway, he directed some soap operas, and I don't know for certain, but I could see how one would see the other and why he would want to have her audition for
absolutely. I mean, the final freak out of Friday the 13th is probably one of my favorite sequences in the whole franchise. Honestly, I can't think of any other, like, sequence that I could just watch over and over again. Except for maybe the boxing scene in Jason Takes Manhattan. That one's pretty great, too.
And that's just because it's so fucking god-awful. If you don't know nothing else, you know Jason Voorhees has got a mean uppercut.
Very mean. At a very, very low budget... Sean Cunningham had $550,000 and to make this film. At the box office, it kind of flopped at a whopping $39.7 million. I believe it's the third highest grossing Freddy.
Yeah, right behind Freddy vs. Jason and the reboot movie. I mean, well, that's surprising to me because... You know, this franchise is so centered around Jason, you know, and Jason is not in any special way in the original film, and it's surprising to me that it did gross as much as it did.
I think people were wanting that feel of John Carpenter, what he did with Halloween, and they found that in Hope, New Jersey. You know, with Friday the 13th, and I mean, it just from the get-go, it struck a chord. I mean, whether it was Walt Gourney's Crazy Ralph or whatever.
Great guy.
What's that you say?
Goody Cab Blood, ain't ya? It's got a death curse.
Goody Cab Blood, ain't ya? And I just thought it was just awesome intro sequence. I love the play with Steve Christie, and at the time you didn't know that that Pamela Voorhees was actually the killer, Jason's mother, and they happened to drive the exact same model Jeep and the exact same color, only one had the soft top on, the other had the doors and the soft top off. And so, I mean, it was kind of a misdirection in a way to get you to think that Steve Christie was potentially the killer.
Oh, yeah, because if you remember the diner scene where he is just leaving and it's raining its ass off, you see him try to start the Jeep and you're like, oh, shit, this dude is the dude who's been offing everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, good little mislead right there. Which set it up,
know,
the
right?
Greatest plot twist in history.
Well, let's talk about that plot twist. Yeah. It seemed to me that whenever the killer's point of view was being represented, it almost felt like a found footage type movie. I mean, the camera's very shaky. It's pretty much like Pamela's fucking holding the camera while she's doing what she does.
And it was a really, really effective tension builder for that sequence, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, Sean Cunningham was just coming off Last House on the Left, which was... I can't even watch that movie because it's so exploitive. But I think a lot of the style of that original movie came over into Friday the 13th. And, I mean, at least the good aspects of the experience he got making that film with Wes Craven. I mean, because if you watch The Last House on the Left, you can see a lot of the same style and how the movies are shot.
Yeah, there are a lot of really, I won't say obvious, but there's a lot of similarities that you can catch between the two. So I got one. I would like to hear this. Let's talk about your favorite kill, Chris, in the movie. You know the one.
My favorite kill will eternally be Kevin Bacon's arrow through the throat. And actually, I was just telling Eric this before we started the show. Every time I watch Friday the 13th, I tweet Kevin Bacon about watching him die.
I seen one just recently, actually. What, like yesterday, I think?
Yeah, because I rewatched part one last night.
I just watched you die again.
Yeah, pretty much.
I think that was pretty much the gist of the tweet, too.
I mean, there's a lot. From, like, I don't know, Marcy, when she's in the bathroom after her and Kevin Bacon do her thing, their thing, and she gets an axe right to the head. That's pretty good. Or what really perplexes me is the fact that, well, Annie, the first victim, gets her throat cut, and Bill, played by Harry Crosby, he's also seen on the top bunk with his throat slit. Now, Mrs. Voorhees...
No. Bill's not the one that... is seen on the...
Oh, no, Bill's
bunk.
With that Alice. Was, I'm sorry. That was Ned that was up in the top bunk. Because yeah. Bill was with Alice and Brenda playing Strip Monopoly.
Is that a game you can buy, Strip Monopoly? Do they sell that?
Yeah, it's right next to Strip Twister.
Oh, well. It seems like good product placement, I suppose.
But how does she have a pristine blue shirt without getting any arterial spray?
My theory is that she put that on right before she meets Alice for the first time when she's, you know, driving up at the end.
Yeah, you don't see her. You don't. She's not wearing a sweater when she moves the branches out of the way, and you first hear the kill, 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 ma, 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 during that warrior scene.
Because if you look at her when she's wearing that sweater, it looks like she has an awful lot of layers underneath. It wouldn't be surprising to me if she had put that on like right before she met Alice the first time.
I mean, night and day in old Jeeps, I will tell you their heaters suck, and so do their air conditioners. So to layer would be smart, especially driving that vehicle, so that makes complete and utter sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, who knows what the temperature was like that night.
Since E, you mentioned that the Kevin Bacon scene was my favorite death scene. What is yours?
Mine is, it ties back into the scene at the end when Pamela Voorhees gets killed, when she gets decapitated. I thought the effects worked for the time. I thought it was great, just that whole sequence. And I'm not really sure how to explain exactly what it is that draws me to that scene, but just the way it plays out was just incredible. I love watching that scene. The whole end of the movie is fucking flawless.
Oh yeah,
in my opinion.
Like when Miss Voorhees like just starts smacking the shit out of Alice. That is hilarious.
Yeah, I was expecting her to demand some money from her or something. You know,
bitch, give me my money. Where's my money?
It got out of hand really quick.
I thought Adrienne King played an excellent heroine. Truly do. I as Alice Hardy, I think she played an excellent heroine. And that last scene, it kind of cracks me up because once she's decapitated with the machete, you can see her hand still clenching like a chicken with its head cut off instead of just dropping
Which
dead.
Which is also
like,
awesome.
You know, you would do. And it's like with each pump of her hand, more blood squirts out of the nub that was her head. And yeah. Awesome.
I wonder
awesome
then.
Scene.
What about you, Eric? What's your favorite death scene?
You know, I don't want to copy you and say Kevin Bacon because that truly is. So. I mean, I don't know. There's something about him. I don't know if it's his boner in the swimming scene or what that makes me not like his character, Jack Burrell. I don't know what it is, but I actually love seeing him get killed. I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm twisted.
I'm a fan of that, too. Maybe I'll live tweet Kevin Bacon right now and tell him I enjoyed seeing you die yet again.
Yeah, just talking about how much I like watching you die in Friday the 13th, man.
Oh, so
have a good one.
Let's talk about Ari Lehman. He is technically the first Jason. The problem that I have with him, well, not him personally, but just the way that he's portrayed, that the first Jason is portrayed in the movie, he's portrayed as like a 10 or 11-year-old kid. However, Jason was actually born in 1946, and the movie takes place in 1979, if you look at the tombstone in, what is it, Eric? The final chapter?
That would be the final chapter, yes.
Yeah, so we know when Pamela dies, which means that the movie took place in 1979. So Jason would have been in his, what, 30s at that time?
32, roughly.
Yeah, but, I mean, if you really think about it, were they already planning on making a sequel when the first one came out? I don't know for sure if that was in the works already. And if not, you got to think, they're probably shooting it from the perspective that, you know, he died at, you know, when he was a kid at the camp or whatever. Because I don't know exactly what time frame that particular sequence takes place when he actually drowns. So they're probably looking at it from the perspective of, you know, he died in the lake, and then when he pops up, because she, the only thing up to that point that Alice knows about Jason was that he was a little boy when he drowned, and she has the sequence when she's having the nightmare, when she's getting, you know, she's in the boat and everything at the end of the movie. And all she knows about him is that it was a little kid that drowned. So that would probably explain why they did it like that. You know what I mean?
But then he's still there. He's still there at the end when it rings out. I mean, that almost says we're going to do a sequel. In part three, when Pamela Voorhees does the same thing, essentially in a canoe, a girl in a canoe, and pulls her into the water, it's a dream sequence. And I truly think that that was just a dream sequence, even as deformed as what he was.
I know that Sean Cunningham, I've watched several interviews with him during various points over the years, and in some he'll say, no, we had no plans on doing a sequel. It wasn't until, you know, the movie was semi-successful at the box office that we decided to do it. And then in other interviews, he's like, yeah, as soon as we finished filming, like, we made the decision to do a sequel. So I don't know. Like, it's hard to tell whether they had already planned on doing a sequel or not. But I think, E, you're right that they made that as a dream sequence, and that's why he's shown as 10 or 11 years old.
Yeah, that's the only thing I can think of, because she doesn't... You know, nobody at that point knows anything about the giant hulking Jason that everybody's familiar with, you know?
Oh, absolutely. And like me and Eric were talking about before the show, because, you know, we were talking about how Kane Hodder was pretty ate up with being Jason. Ari Lehman is more ate up with having been Jason for 2 seconds than anybody else. Granted, I'm not speaking ill of the man. Because that's a part of the movie, every time I watch it, makes me jump when he gets out of the water.
When you really think about it, yeah, the guy only played Jason for 2 seconds, but that 2 seconds is one of the most iconic sequences in any horror movie ever. Anybody that watches horror movies is thoroughly familiar with that sequence.
Oh, right, absolutely. There. And what's funny is he even has a band called First Jason. You know, I'm thinking...
Really?
Yeah, yeah. They play like some kind of punk music. You know, maybe I need to ask
Crazy him. Ralph is the drummer, I assume.
I think that dude's dead. Maybe I need
Man, there goes my fucking Saturday. Shit.
I'm thinking maybe we need to ask him if we can use one of his songs for our outro music.
That would be pretty ill right there. That would be cool as hell, man.
So several of you guys wanted to know about what Pamela was up to before the first movie, but given that there's so much to say on the subject, we actually decided to split this episode into two. So we're actually going to address those questions in a sort of listener-driven episode that will schedule to be released after this one. Phil from Staten Island actually won the trivia contest the last episode, answering correctly that the snake that Bill kills in the cabin was in fact the first machete victim of the series. So we'll also play his voicemail on that episode because it pertains to Pamela's backstory as well. So any final thoughts before we sign off, sirs?
Looking forward to doing the second part of this episode. Just looking into what old Pammy is up, or was up to, rather.
Definitely what's going on with her. This movie started the genre. I mean, nowadays when people see a horror movie, they say if it's kind of cheesy, they call it campy. And that this movie right here started that. It started a new term in pop culture. And if it weren't for Sean Cunningham, none of that would have ever would be around. I mean, even if you think the movies are cheesy as hell, you've still got to recognize that they're a huge part of pop culture. Huge. And I'm just thrilled to death to be talking about it, and glad some people actually listen to us. And with that, I will turn it over to you, Chris.
All right. Again, we appreciate the support coming out of the Friday the 13th community, and we want to encourage everyone to like our Facebook page. And that's a way you can actually support the show, and by giving us a 5-star review on iTunes. I mean, it sounds silly, but the more 5-star reviews we have, the more other people searching for stuff dealing with Friday the 13th will see us. And also, you can actually purchase the Friday the 13th movie that we're talking about using our Amazon affiliate link at campbloodpodcast.com/Pamela. If you want to ask us a question or vindicate a theory you might have, you can contact the show by sending an email to campbloodpodcast@outlook.com, or by using hashtag campbloodpodcast on Twitter. So until next time.
You go to Camp Blood, ain't ya? You'll never come back again. It's got a death curse.